no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how rude you are, there's always someone who's got to say something. No matter what, I'm telling you, no matter how good you are, how nice you are, how rude you are, how bad you are as a person, someone will always find something to say about you.
I've always thought, like, no child should have to bury a parent, right? So how was that moment for you, especially having to play through it as well?
I've spoken about this, and I think every time I speak about it, I feel a little bit better every time, because it's even like just mentioning her name, I just start crying. But more I speak about her, I think it's a good thing for me to spread the words, what she's done to us. I ran the ball, someone called me, pushed me in the ground. I just lost my head all over because I was already in the dark place. So when he was running back, I was running behind him and I was saying something to him, and he just turned around and nudged me and I got knocked out.
No way.
Yeah, I just got dropped and I just woke up. I can't remember what happened. They started, so all the boys were fighting. One of my teammates said, "Cody, you just got dropped." And I was looking around. Oh, when it shook the guy's hand, that knocked me out.
Just to give everyone context, what is a budgie smuggler?
Yeah, it's not for me because nothing's really smuggled down there. But like,
welcome back, guys. Welcome to Teddy Talks. I'm glad to have you guys. I am Teddy Suarez. I'm joined by my lovely brother,
Sydney Suarez.
We have a special guest on today, a rugby legend. I call him a rugby legend anyway. He's been through 10 plus seasons. He has won the World Club Championship. He's also won the Super League. He's also played for his country. Make a special, special welcome for Connie. Thank you very much for being here, Connie. Thank you.
Mate, you made me sound like a better player than I am right now. I might come here every time now for these podcasts.
Bro, like
so
I
can
said,
introduce me all the time.
You are a legend. In my eyes, you are a legend. And in fact, cheers to that.
Cheers, mate. Thank you for having me, guys.
I want to make it clear as well. He's not drinking alcohol, guys. He's drinking Red Bull.
Monday night. Yeah. Can't do it.
Apple juice right now. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for being
thanks,
here.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a blessing for me to be in the podcast just to talk about some of my experience and get to chit-chat with you too. So,
yeah thanks for having me. Appreciate that. And you have had an experience as well. Like I listed, I think that there's more I could have listed, but the main things that you've done has been such an achievement. Most players, I imagine, around you just haven't achieved what you've achieved and been places that you've been as well, right? So... yeah, special flowers that we have to give out to you. We like to give flowers here. So, but I wanted to ask big question. How are you? How are you in where you are, your headspace right now? Yeah. How is Connie?
I'm good now. Probably a couple of years or maybe 3 years ago, you asked me that. I won't answer the same. But at the moment, I've got a healthy child. Mrs. Healthy.
Yes.
Myself is healthy. Family is healthy. So. I think that's all I can say now, that I am happy as well. So looking forward to another season that I get to live my childhood career again. So my childhood dream. So get to do it again this year. So I am happy and good. So
I love that. That's all we wish for as well. Like just pure happiness. I know there's so many crazy things going on in the world. So to hear that you're in a good space now, is really amazing. And obviously we'll dive into why you weren't in such a good space a couple of years ago, but we have our opening tradition, Sydney, don't we?
Where we
like to reel off quotations, and in fact I'm gonna let you give the quotation.
Right, give me the floor.
You the floor, bro.
I'm giving
you
the floor. Special one for you. Would we have won the Super League in 2022 and then flown to Australia and won the World Cup challenge later that year if it weren't for our custom budgie smugglers? Hard to say, but almost definitely not. Guess who said that?
That was on behalf of my team and myself, the budgie boys. So I think so as well. the boys get to have their own budget smuggler, St. Helens budget smuggler away and home. So I think that was a big part of the winning culture is the budget smuggler. So yeah,
I love that. So just to give everyone context, what is a budget smuggler?
I don't know why it's not for me because nothing's really smuggled down there. But but it's pretty much underwear, but it's a swimming. It's similar to Speedo, but just a lot better than Speedos. But yeah, that's what it is. And then it comes in different styles, women, kids, grandma, grandpa. So everyone, it's for everyone to wear and enjoy and feel good about themselves. So
yeah that's, bro, that's when I see it on your gram, I really want to pull it off, bro. I need a pair so I can see what that looks like.
It takes a certain confidence,
bro. That's one thing that, like, we're trying to get it out there. If you're a big boy, then appreciate what you have, you know.
What do we mean, like big boy, like big boy?
Some big boys don't have big feet, so just appreciate what you have. But that's why the budget smugglers come here, to give you confidence and make you feel like a 10 every time. So yeah.
To the budget smugglers. So have you got a quote yourself that you tend to live by on a day to day? Maybe if you're having a hard time, maybe if you're even having a good time.
Yeah.
What gets you through? What kind of quotations do you live by?
I think pretty much everything that I've been taught is from my mom and dad. My mom, there's one thing that she always says to me and always get me grounded, and this is why I love always going back to Tonga, and that's why I was born and raised, is don't forget where you were born and raised.
Yes.
We grew up with absolutely nothing. It was like we had 3 bedrooms and there was like probably 12 of us in the house. So I think up to 15, I was still sleeping with still cuddling up with my mom, and my dad had to be on the floor. So I feel sorry for my dad. He'd be like thinking, when are you going to grow up? So I was the baby. So two of my sisters had one room and 4 brothers had one room. And my mom and dad had one room. So yeah, that's how we grew up. That's what she always reminded me of. Because when I started playing professional, I got to a stage that I think I got way ahead of myself, and then I got a one phone call with my mom, and that's why. What do we talk about? And then just put me in the bed.
Keeps you humble.
That's one thing, and the other one is just treat everyone how you want to be treated. So that's the main thing that I go with. So
spiritual one, that one's Bible, right? I feel like that's in the Bible for sure. I really resonate with that because you've been through so much. You've gone through so much in your career. Your levels have always kind of gone up as well, even when you've gone to international as well. So it's like, I can imagine there's moments where you could completely get gassed. You have so many people around you hyping you up as well. And then it's like, how do I bring myself back to earth? And it's that quotation so powerful for that, right?
Like, mums are so good at humbling us.
I know. Yeah,
bro. We get it all the time as well.
One phone call for mom and you know what it is. You got a good phone call, or first thing she said, you know where you stand. So I've missed her. So I always think back to that. So
How is that? Because we've experienced a loss, our father as well, when we were really young. And there's something in my mind, it's like I've always thought that no child should have to bury a parent, right? So how was that moment for you, especially having to play through it as well? What was that like?
Yeah, I think I've spoken about this, and I think every time I speak about it, I feel a little bit better every time, because over the last 3 years, I never want to, it's even like just mentioning her name, I just start crying. But more I speak about her, I think it's a good thing for me to spread the words, what she's done to us. And she's a lovely, she's the best mom I've ever think of. But the first time she passed away, I was over here, and COVID hit at the same time, so I couldn't go home. And I think that's what hurt me the most, that I couldn't be there to bury my mom. So she passed away on her birthday. Wow. Get to sing her, get to get her birthday, and then she passed away. So it was tough. So we came back 2020, just play, just play with, no, just going through the motion.
Yeah.
2021 had the worst year ever playing rugby because as my head was scrambled
all over
the place. Yeah, all over the place. So still going through it, and mm-hmm. like you two, you know how it feels. Mm-hmm. It never goes away
because
if you grow up so close to your mom and dad, it's never not going to go like that. So
100%.
So it took me a while, and my partner, I always say this. I don't know how she's still with me. I was in a very dark place. So I was just I just do my own thing and stuff like that. But she's a strong person to be around. She helped me through those couple of 3 years that I've been in the dark. So the club that I was playing for, the Leeds Rhinos, I had 3 years with them. They looked after me very well there too. So they were a big part of they know that I didn't want to be at home. They told me not to come and play and stuff. So I said, it's better for me to come here and train with the boys.
Yeah.
And the boys there were very, very good, man.
Yeah. Amazing.
So
you're still in contact with some of those?
Every time. I think they're sick of me. So even when I moved, the 2022, like you said before, I played the grand final against them. Mm. It was elite. So it was kind of weird, but it was kind of, it was a good vibe that because I was playing against my friends, you know, my friends, they are my best friends here in the UK. They look after me when I moved here and stuff like that. So, but it was kind of like good as well that we won, and to get one over them. It was just like that.
Oh, the bragging rights must have been amazing.
So,
bro,
yeah. Like. So that was it. So it was tough. Like I said before, I never wanted to talk about it because I get so emotional.
Really appreciate you doing that and having that level of vulnerability to even broach that space with us, because we know how hard it is. I know when I ever speak about my dad, I get that ball in my throat. Like, shit, I don't even want to do that.
Yeah. No eye contact, you're just looking around.
No eye contact. And it's even when, because we were in a quite a relatively big school, nobody knew. Like, even until adulthood, people were like, wait, we've never actually seen your dad before. Like, where is he? And then it's having to explain that. Be like, actually, this is what happened when we were really young. We couldn't talk about it. Yeah, I mean, men in general, we don't like to talk about our emotions.
Yeah.
It's just like you say, we'll go, in your situation, you'll go play and just carry on and try and just try and deal with it in your own way rather than actually speaking about your emotions, because we don't like to be vulnerable. But I think it's like Sydney was saying, really, really, really do appreciate you opening up like that, because I think in order to keep these special people in our lives alive in some way, we do need to kind of talk about them and talk about all those special moments that they've brought to our lives and all the happy moments.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, that's one thing as well. And I think, like you said before, us men, boys, we don't like talking about it. Mm. And I think this is one thing I wanted to come and speak about it here. I think you'll feel better.
Yeah,
you'll feel better. Mm. But like, take your time. You don't have to rush it. So it's just a little bit to the people there, to the brave men out there. Take your time, you know. There's always people around you that you could talk to, you know. I think that's why we feel like we're strong men and we don't need to talk about this. And then we kept building it, and we break.
At some stage.
Yeah.
Always. That's always
so,
the case.
Yeah, take your time. If you get something, you know the people you can talk to. Mine was my brothers and sisters. That's what got me to break that, is keep speaking. Cause I'm really close with my sister, just the one above me. And she said, whatever you're going through, we're going through it as well. So don't think you're alone. And that's what got me. I was like, I thought I was the only one because I was the one not there.
Mm.
So, she said, it feels the same. Even if you were here, it would still feel the same. So he got me that. So it was nice to speak to them all the time. So
special.
Yeah.
We love
really
that.
Special. And, you know, you were talking about the whole persona of being a big, strong man. And I know that being in the rugby world, people have a lot of preconceptions about you. And how do you deal with that? Because a lot of people judge you before they even meet you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it took me time. It took me a while to figure out that no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how rude you are, there's always someone who's got to say something, no matter what I'm telling you. No matter how good you are, how nice you are, how rude you are, how bad you are as a person, someone will always find something to say about you. So I think that's what got me to break that little, if it comes from my brother and sister, I will take that. Maybe for my coach, maybe for my friends that knows, really knows
closest
me.
Closest people to you, of course.
Then I'll agree and I'll have a chat with you. But then when it comes from, not in a rude way, people that don't really know me, like you said, they don't really know me, not knowing what I go through, soreness, the waking up in the morning, the getting home, losing in gaming, trying to have a go at your partner, telling her this and that. They don't know that. They just think that I'm getting paid like a footballer to go out there and bash people. But that's what, like, the year, it comes from knowing the game, because I've been there like 10 plus years, knowing that.
Should we just say rugby is a real job?
I think it is because trust me, it is. It is like that. I think that's what a lot of people think, that it is fun. Trust me, I'll choose it anytime. If someone said football or rugby, but maybe similar pay, I would still choose rugby. Yeah, it's fun in some way, because that's all I knew as a young kid. Because two of my brothers play rugby, and I find it fun. Apart from waking up in the morning, not even feel like then I'm 82. But apart
the
from
the adrenaline's
that,
all gone.
Gotta do it again this weekend. But I chose that, and then I live it. That, like, some people don't get to live the dream, you know. I am, and I am still living it, and I'm proud to say it. And that's why I said I just gotta go with it. A lot of people, they pay to come and watch you. They can say whatever they want. So it's up to you to take it offensively or learn from it or just don't think about it. So now and then someone will say something to me on social media, I'll just say, have a laugh at him, and they'll be like, oh, okay. And then they just feel that they're a bit stupid for saying something to me, and I just laugh it out. So, but before then, I think it took me 2 years to get away from that. I get to talk to my manager about it, like, then the thing he said, either get off social media or just don't listen to them. I love social media.
Like, yeah.
I agree. I'm a guy that I love it. And then now I get to sit here with you too because of social media.
So yeah. That's why I love it. Yeah. The connection is the world smaller.
It comes
right?
new, like, it's new to me, and I like it. And I don't think I'll get away with it. I just need to learn how to react to people and how to use social media as well in the right way. So yeah, I got in trouble a little bit when I was younger with social media as well. So I just needed to learn how to use it in a wise way and enjoy it.
I might try the laughing thing, Connie. I've never tried that before. So I think I'm just going to start laughing at all the trolls.
I'm just going to send some laughing emojis.
So guys, if you start seeing laughing emojis to my replies to the trolls, you know where it came from.
Yeah. I remember someone said to me, man, because I play outside backs, I play center, and it's pretty much all for, like, quick people. Like, they're so quick. And they always say, you're fat, you're so slow. And I just laugh at them. I was like, I hope you have a good day. And their reply was nicer and nicer and nicer. And I was just like, I've got you.
Yeah. you're living in the head.
I just laughed it out. And I said, I hope you have a good day, bro. And then he was like, I know I had a bad day. It started being nice to me. And then, you know, and some people, they say something, I just say, shut up. And then laugh emoji. So yeah, that's what I do now. And I'll try to teach it to the young boys, because, like, this generation is all social media. So.
Yeah.
But like I say, you got to learn how to use it. If not, you're going to get drowned by it. So,
Yeah, so we spoke a little bit about the culture that you came from. With tying in social media, and obviously you've got the blessing of a son now. Yeah. Do you feel like it's going to be difficult to teach your son the culture whilst showing him that social media isn't real life to a certain extent?
I think my partner she doesn't believe in smacking a kid. I am gonna smack my boy. I apologize. Please don't take my kid away from me. But that's how I feel like I turn up all right I'm not in a dangerous way. I'm just gonna make sure he knows where he is. But I would, like, at the moment, what I'm thinking in my head, I'll let him do whatever to a certain, like, I'll me and my partner, we need to talk about this because it's not only a one-way thing. So we've got to make sure where's the end bit that he needs to go to.
Yeah.
But I feel like they never chose to come into life. Me and her chose to.
Yeah.
So we got to give him the opportunity to live there.
Yeah. And,
but to a certain point, if he wants to be on this social media stuff, it's up to him. Mm. But we got to make sure it comes to like somewhere they need to stop it, you know? Mm.
And you've got the expertise. Like you're almost the perfect person because you deal with loads of fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like... Son, like what I'm saying is legit.
but that's the good thing is as well. There's a lot of fans. What we're talking about here, there's probably like 5% of those fans are being stupid.
Mm.
The rest, they're all amazing.
They'll support you to the hill.
They're beautiful people.
St. Helens as well. So it's close to Merseyside. And it's
they're born and bred. And that's their team is what they've grew up always wanted to be. They go and watch it no matter what. People flew over to Australia.
No way. For the World Club.
Okay. Like, it was probably their savings months for months to come over and watch us. Wow. So that's incredible. Like I said, there's a lot of fans. So that's what I mean. Like, you need to take the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to you. I've learned how to get the bad as well. And the good.
What was that process like? How did you learn how to deal with it?
That it was with my manager. I was talking to my manager about the Aventus. They talked me through what I just said before. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad or everyone will have an opinion. So it's up to me to read it. Get my mind into it or just read it and just leave it. And then they said, you know the people you can get your information for, then you can get the feeling that you have.
Mm.
Like if my brother and sister said, stop doing this because you cheated it. It's like, okay. I must be cheated it for my brother and sister to say that. If I took that from someone that has never been in my life, I thought, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So I think it took me a while. Like I said, it took me a while to get through that because it's no matter what, like no matter how it is, you're still a human being. You still get hurt from someone saying something. You still find it a little bit. It's like, I squeeze your head. But it's just like, calm down.
Yeah. And most people are like, just don't look at it. I almost feel like it's impossible not to look at it.
Yeah.
Like,
I do look at it. Like, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like unless you are not the one running your Instagram or of course not. But if you're the one on your phone and you got to look at it.
I'm not Jay-Z, so I'm looking at it.
But that's what make us the people who we are.
We got to
take it. Take that. Imagine if someone just tickling you the whole way through. How would you? As soon as you got a little test on you, you'd be failing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got to. And I feel like you must be doing something right for people to say something.
100%. Yes. I agree with that. 100%.
If you're not doing something right, they won't say anything.
You've got to be doing your thing, and usually that's when people are so quick to be like, oh, you should do it this way.
Yeah.
Or you should,
because
they want to bring it down to their level.
Yeah, exactly. It's always the way.
But I find it as a blessing as well for people to say that, because sometimes I need humbling a lot.
Mm.
Like, I feel like sometimes I have like a good game, 3 games in a row, and I feel like, wow, I'm good.
I'm the man.
Yeah. And then you see this and you're like, oh, I still got something to work on. So I feel like it's just how you take it. Like you said, you're asking me, but it took me a little while to try to make it as a positive, because it will like get in my head.
Mm.
Rather than me going and working on it, it'll be just getting in my head. Going to a game, I'll be thinking about what he was saying, what I'm playing, and it's going to make it worse and worse and worse.
Yeah,
you could always remember your mum's quote.
So that's
where you came from.
So,
and I wanted to take it there, and just because you've got such a solid mindset. Some of the things that you were saying there helps you compartmentalize.
how do you say that word?
Compartmentalize.
That's the word.
I don't even know that word.
I'm never using that word again. That word's getting crossed out.
Please delete that. Erase that. Erase that. Or maybe we get a white boy here to come and explain us this word, please. What is this word, please?
Cut the cameras. Oh gosh. But anyway, in a roundabout way, I was saying that you deal with things really well. And you were talking about, you know, remembering where you came from. Your mum said that to you, and I was doing some research. You grew up in Tonga. You were saying that, you know, it's quite rough and ready where you grew up. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what was growing up in Tonga like?
Yeah,
you mentioned that you want to smack your kid because you got smacked.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking if you smack your kid, your kid might get knocked out. So
I grew up. I was the baby. I got three brothers and two sisters. And I'm the baby. And I think with everyone seeing, they always knew I was the little shit. It's my oldest brother. He's so
used to that, bro.
My oldest brother. He's just on his little world. He's so quiet. My other brother doesn't do any sports or anything. He does the cooking. If you tell him to build something, he'll just build it. Mm. Like he's like smart. I don't think he's right in the head. He's just too smart for that. And one of my brother, he's just a straight person. He's the one that everyone goes to. Like if something wrong, we just go to him. Yeah. And every nephew and niece is scared of him. That's that brother. He's smart. He does like everything right. I don't think he's ever tell a lie to anyone. He's so honest. He's like, he's that brother. And two of my sisters, they're just so loving. Apart from the one above me, she's like my mom. Just can't stop it. She just try to fight everyone. She's so loud. And I think that's why I'm so close with her. Yeah, we have so much fight when we're younger and I haven't won the fight yet. So yeah, I'm so close with her. So we grew up in a big family, like I said, we have three bedrooms, house at home. And we always have like an auntie or uncle that we live with. I have no idea like what this happened, but I think my mom loves, she's so caring, and if something happened to someone, she'll brought it over home and just leave it home, and that's how we live. We live as a big family, and I always say this to everyone. That's what I miss the most when I move. It's how loud it is at home, like from morning to night. Even our neighbors are always like, everyone is in trouble every day. They can hear my mom yelling every day, and it's like. It's like the happiest family, but at the same time, you have your struggle at home. But we grew up, we pretty much had nothing. But when I grew up as a kid, I thought we were rich for some reason because we were never hungry. Like going to school, we had everything for school. But my mom was just at home. She was a home mom's stay. She stays at home with us pretty much. And then dad pretty much did mechanic and do some fishing now and then. To get like put food on our table.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought we were rich because we get dropped off to school, picked up, from my dad.
Food on the
so,
table.
So yeah, we're just like, but everyone, when I was hearing other kids, my friends as well, they had to walk to school and sometimes they've got the same uniform for like a week. We had pretty much three uniforms a week. So that in my head, I was like, wow, we must be rich. Then now I got to this stage and I'm looking back, I was like,
she really
far
tried
from it. But it was just what my mom and dad has done. Made like I'm pretty much the skinniest out of all my family, put it that way, and we love eating, so I don't know how my mom and dad
I want to see a family.
there's one brother because he went vegan for like 4 years, so I think he's the only one under 100 kilos, so maybe he's above now. But everyone's over 100 kilos, so just put it that way. So
strong.
Yeah, but we're just, that's our family, man. We were never into like Christmas or New Year's or birthdays or stuff like that because once a month we do something, like the whole family.
Like, you were already
part, you know. Yeah, every month there, it was something on. Like we'll go to a beach and stay there for a weekend, like with just us, just go camping. Or because my dad used to have a boat, we used to get in a boat and go to a little island and just camp there for a week. Mm. So yeah, birthdays and Christmas and it wasn't really a big thing for us because every time we're having something fun. But like I said, like at home, it's always trying to build, because I feel like that's why I think we're rich as well, because we're always happy. But you always have the other side as well, the struggle. We didn't really see that because it was my mom and dad was the one struggling. So looking back to where we grew up, that I think there was a lot of pressure on both of them. Mm. That we didn't really know until we were a bit older. So, but everyone went to like good school. We were brought up well, we used to play rugby. It was a plastic bottle. Sometimes the plastic bottle was the rugby ball, or like a jandals or someone's shoes. Yeah, and we used to just play in the field. Was there's like more rocks and soil on the field. And stuff like that. I think I didn't wear my first boots till I was 15 or 16. But it was funny because we all run in. I think the first 5 minutes, you can see all the kids throwing their boots back out.
Yeah. They're like, no, this isn't it.
Yeah, we're more comfortable with bare feet running around with it. So, but that's pretty much how we grew up. And
Where did the love of rugby come from? Because I read when we were doing the research about you, that you were a weightlifting champion.
Oh, that's it. the love for rugby, I think my dad used to play a little bit, not as much. My mom's side is they're all sports people. My mom's dad used to play for like just local in Tonga, and my mom's brother that I'm named after play rugby as well. They were really good in Tonga, but never made it out.
Is it a big, it's a big sport in Tonga?
Yeah, right? In Tonga, our main sport is rugby union. Mm. Yeah, so that's everyone wants to play rugby union, and that's we knew one guy. Pretty much everyone in Tonga knew about Jonah Lomu. If you guys know Jonah, he used to play for All Blacks. He's passed away now. He was like the Ronaldo for rugby.
I've seen some of his highlight reels.
So everyone in Tonga always think that I want to be Jonah Lomu. So two of my oldest brother played it. They played for the Tonga secondary school. They get to travel. And I was thinking, I want to do that because they used to be at the airport. We all got the same gears and stuff like that. So in my head, I always wanted to be. But they never made it big as well. So I was the last one to make it. And I got lucky to make it. But with the weightlifting, I got a scholarship from Tonga to go to school in Auckland Grammar in New Zealand, Auckland, and get to play rugby for them. So while I was there, they were like, No one's doing weightlifting in your weight category. Can you just do it? But just because I was, they paid for my fees, for my visa, for everything. I was like, I'll do everything you guys want me to do. and then I ended up winning it. It was like a secondary school thing, and I ended up winning the weightlifting without like no knowledge at all to it. I was just going up there and just lift the weight. But the funny thing is, the weight under me, they lifted way more than us. Because they had all the technique and stuff. But in my way, there was just a bunch of big boys that was lifting the weight. But
just for because some they reason, could.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Just which were just big.
So you won on raw strength.
In my weight category. But like I said, there was I think that was over 100. Yeah, I was already over 100 when I was 18, 19. So yeah, but I think it was like the 80 kilos. Their weight was like nearly double our weight because their technique was too good. And we're all looking back, like, what the hell is going on here? But in my weight, my weight level, for some reason, I ended up winning it.
It's like Teddy when he looked at me in the gym, I'm lifting more than him.
Yeah, whatever.
No comment, bro. No comment.
Yeah, no comment. So, moving on. So when you went to school in Auckland, what was that like? Because was your family with you at the time? Oh, did you have to separate?
That was the funny, yeah. So they came over. I got lucky to got picked from the scouts. I think every school in New Zealand, you're allowed to pick two from outside New Zealand. So a lot of schools go to Fiji, go to Tonga, go to Samoa, Cook Island, to all the islands and see if there's potential there. I think Okungurumi came over, and then I got lucky to got picked. So I moved there with my dad. The only reason my dad had to come because he couldn't speak.
Oh, is it? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I couldn't speak. So my dad had to do all the talking with them. So I was just at the background. I could speak, but like,
what's the native language in Tonga?
We got our own language, yeah.
Mm. So what's the language called?
Just Tongan language.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. So we couldn't, like, I couldn't hold a conversation with him. I could understand what they were saying sometimes, but I couldn't, like,
oh, your dad must have loved it.
My dad went to school in New Zealand for a little bit there before he came back to Tonga. Mm. And yeah, so that was the funny thing. So my dad came over, but luckily Okungurumi was all boys. So I didn't care at all. If they mocked me, they mocked me. But they were a bit like worried mocking me because they just look at me like I was sitting there. Like, I was like Adam Sandler. What's that movie that Adam Sandler had to go back to primary school or whatever? Because I was sitting there with all like 16-year-old kid and I always looked like the dad.
The big boy.
Just like, so no one really mocked me because I was like just bigger than everyone.
I was going to say, how is anyone trying to bully you, bro? Like,
yeah. So, but there's a funny story because that's how I got my love for sushi, because I ended up close with like a lot of the Asian kids there.
Yeah.
Because in New Zealand, there's English and there's ESOL for the people like us from overseas people there to go pretty much three years back to learn it again. So when I was sitting there, I was just all with all these Asian people. So I get to know them, and I think they got bullied a lot in that school, or maybe just people just, yeah. So I see. They used to hang around with me. They would give me the sushi. And
so you were like, I had to look after them.
I had to look after them.
And he's like, bully guard.
I was like, and like years later, I think this was 2015. I went back to Auckland. It had to be 2017 because I went back to New Zealand. So I went to New Zealand, went to the casino, played a bit of poker. And I was sitting across this Asian kid and he kept looking at me. I was like, it's getting sussed. So I was like, I'm not going to have a break. So I walked out and I saw him stood up and following me. And he was like, Connie. I was like, oh, hi. Shaking his head. He don't remember me. And I was like, oh, no, sorry. And he was like, oh, I was one of the kids from Auckland Grandma that he used to look after. Yeah, and he was like, I used to be friends with you in Auckland Grandma. And I was like, oh, what? It was funny. Wild. So I was like shaking her head, a little chat after the poke there. So it's quite funny, yeah, that he still remembered me. So
I love that. That story. So what was it like transitioning from, obviously you've gone from Tonga and then you've gone to Gold Coast, am I right?
I went to Auckland first. Auckland. I was there for 7 years.
Okay.
In New Zealand.
In New Zealand, okay.
And then I went from there.
So what's it like transitioning from club to club? Like, is that difficult? What's that process?
When I went from playing for the Warriors to Titans, it wasn't really...
Bear in mind, you're moving further and further away from family as well.
Yeah. So when I moved to New Zealand, it took me about 4 to 5 years to kind of like stop being a little kid. You're here for a reason. Because I used to call my mom every time I talk to my mom, I was like, I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Because I was in a boarding room there, or I'll go and stay with family like in the weekend and come straight back to school and go into sit in like a room. And he had a roommate for like the whole week. I was never like that. Mm. I was mainly around people that just laughing and taking the piss out of each other and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing I missed the most. Like even though I was in Auckland living the life, like eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, and like in the different environment to Tonga, I was still thinking the reason why I came here is so I can help out my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And for like
that was the mission.
2-3 years I didn't get paid because I was just on scholarship and stuff. I was like, what's the point of me being here?
They don't pay you on scholarship?
Nah. Like, because it was still in high school.
Oh.
So, because they pay for your visa, they pay for your flight, they pay for your school, for your uniform. Yeah, so that's their way of paying you.
Okay.
For me to just go there and play. And then if I get scouts from there, then I get scouts and then I go on from there. So,
wow. And
then, yeah, I finally worked out. So I went and played for the Warriors. I was signed with them for 4 years and so when I moved from the New Zealand Warriors to Titans, it wasn't really tough, but it was kind of like the tough bit that I had to prove myself again.
Mm.
So when I moved to there, different environment, different people that I've never played with, so I got to pretty much prove myself to them that I could play in this team, that I'm better than the person that was in that position. So I think that was the only hard bit about it. But it's a similar environment. Like with all the teams, it's pretty much the same thing what they're doing, because it's the same goal. You just want to win that premiership, get a ring. And so every team is similar, but it's just moving into a new team, you just kind of prove yourself again. So
I think
that was the tough thing. Is, but the footy boys, they're all good men, bro.
Yeah, that's good.
Get along with them. Like pretty much a lot of them you get along with.
Okay, so the big question then, because I'm going to lie, now I've been to Australia, like from Australia to the UK.
Why? Why?
You got the sun, you got the good food. So what was that like? Because that must have been...
I still had...
The weather.
Yeah, I still had 1 year in Gold Coast. But okay. My manager was talking about... what do you want to do after that? And trying to sort out a deal with them for another year so I can stay a bit longer. But I think they didn't follow through. They just said, oh, we'll wait after, let him play for a year and then we'll go, like, we'll see how he goes.
Mm.
And then they just, I didn't know idea. They spoke to this Leeds Rhinos and then I think it's a deal I couldn't say no to. They sent to my manager. And at the time I was still, 26? 27, okay. So I was still young. I said, if I go there and I don't like it, I'll come straight back.
Mm.
But at the same time, I've never been away from Tonga for 18 years. So I was only first flight ever. I was 17, turning 18 from Tonga to New Zealand. And then just doing the flying from New Zealand to Australia, New Zealand to Australia all the time. And I was like, this is so hectic. And then got this opportunity when me and my partner flew from Gold Coast to Fiji, Fiji to Tonga. That's when they were doing the deal. So my manager and Leeds Rhino were doing the deal. And then my manager calling me while I was on holiday. I was like, oh, mate, they need you to say yes or no now. I was like, mate, I'm in Fiji, mate. Leave me alone. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Literally, I'll hang up. Me and my partner were at the bar. And this and not in Fiji, it's just like it's some live music. Got the call again. I was like, I knew shot away as my manager. So I answered the call. I had to walk away and I just said, wait, give me 5 minutes. So I went and told her. I was like, do you want to move out? And then she was like, might as well. If you want, it's up to you. So I was like, you've got a job too. Yeah, because she had a great job.
What a woman.
She does graphic design. And that's what she does, and she was like, "Oh, it's up to you. If you think you want to do it, you can do it." And then I was like, "What about you?" And he's like, "I'll come." And then I went back and called him. I was like, "Okay, sweet." So that's how I got the deal from Gold Coast while I was on holiday in Fiji. So, but we both really wanted to travel.
You're still in the mode of seeing the world.
Yeah, yeah. So in that, we're like, this is the perfect opportunity for me. Go play here in England and get to travel around Europe.
Hmm.
And if I don't like it, first year, second year, we can go back. Now this is my sixth year.
You love it. So what is it that you love about the UK?
I enjoy playing here. I think I know the weather is miserable here, but the fans here are different.
Hmm.
Oh, they are different. Like even the people that come from Australia to play here, the only reason why they hate it here because the weather's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And they get dark. When it's cold, it's cold. And I think that's why they go straight back. And I think I've had a lot of time for being homesick. I've been in New Zealand for like 7 years, in Gold Coast for 3 years. I think I've learned how to just grow up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and enjoy
still live life. Because that's home for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when I'm done, we're going back there. It's not mm-hmm. it's not like it's gonna go away.
Mm.
And yeah, my partner always remind me that. Remember when you said we're always gonna go back because it's going to be a 6 year. You might go 7, you might go 8, you might live here.
She and now he retired as well. So it's like, wait, so
you're like, we're going back. We said that's home. But yeah.
Where's your partner from?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, okay, born and raised there. Yeah, in the sun. No, she's here in the cold every day. But we enjoy the little bit. We get to travel with the little fella now. Like, we've been quite pretty much everywhere. So maybe 1 or 2 years, and I can't say when I'm gonna finish, but maybe soonish. Then like I said, home will be home for us. So
you've retired internationally, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, so she must have even been thinking, wait, so now you're definitely not going back to Tonga for training.
Yeah. She's probably thinking they'll find a way for us to live here, but I don't think it's the lifestyle, or not in a different way. I just feel like the lifestyle is for us to be back home.
You're raising
your
son.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great segue into what is fatherhood like? It's relatively
fucking
new
hard
for you now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard. Nah, it is. It is. Like, I always, every time everyone asks me, I say, I've been missing out. I've been missing out on that feeling, because sometimes you get so tired and you just come home and just everything just go, whoop. Seeing that little face. That, like, I love being a dad. I love pretty much everything now you do is for him. Literally, you just, you gotta sometimes think twice now as well. Oh, wow. Yeah. This is not gonna be good for my son. So,
yeah.
So, you know, and now I've kind of like got into a routine now, because my life was, my partner is like, here. She likes the routine. Me, there is no routine. But now, like probably the last 2 years, I've got like trying to find a routine, like, just because of him. Because I can't be living like that while he's going to be struggling. And she's the one living with him pretty much all the time, because I'm more training. So I got to do that with her. So, but being a dad, I think it's the best feeling. It's the best for me. Because I've seen how my dad is with us. My dad was never really close. He was never really close with us. His love language was always making sure we're fed, always making sure we got some, like, but my mom was the one that was like,
the touch, the empathy.
Like totally different. Yeah, my dad will never come put his arms around me and stuff like that, but he'll always make sure that I've got the best thing ever. Like even when I play footy, if I play like the best game, my mom will be like, oh, good game, son. My dad's like, oh, not really. He was that kind of dad. He's like, you still need to do better here, but you kind of like figure it out that a lot of people are not like always like my mom. There's always my dad was different too. So I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm kind of like my mom, or I'm just going straight, grab him and stuff like that. So, but being a dad, I think it's one of the best, it's a blessing for me. You know, there's a lot of people out there that can't have that blessing that I have to be a dad. So I am blessed.
You want your son to be a rugby player?
I don't care whatever what he does. Hopefully not. Hopefully he'll be a football player. get more money for mum and dad, so we don't have to work.
The retirement plan needs to be solid. Like,
football, project Mbappe.
The way he's the build he's going, he's definitely going to be a football player.
Enjoys his food. He's not eating as much as you when you're younger.
He's definitely going to be a little nugget. So I think football will be no go.
Do you follow football?
Not really. I just watch it because of all the boys. Watch it here. So
yeah. So if you were to pick any team, we'd want you to be an Arsenal fan. So hopefully, we can take you to a
Arsenal
game one day.
It's very stressful.
I thought they used to be good.
Yeah.
But not in the last couple of years.
No, they're good right now.
They're good.
We need to win a Premier League.
Yeah, we need a special trophy.
We need a special trophy. It's been a long time.
Been a while. Yeah, it's been a minute. And the thing is, it's like, in fact, let's not talk about it.
No, that's one thing I like about the football fans here, and even the rugby league. They will stay with that team no matter what. You know, no one, just because their team is shit, they will still stick with them.
I think that's where my patience comes from. Yeah,
that's what I love it here. Like back home, the people would be like, "Oh, we go support this team."
Yeah,
like, what the hell? But here, like even rugby league, their team get relegated and they still follows them, and like that's why I love it. That's how, like, I think that's what you need from fans, you know. Just that's why I've seen a lot of people here, like, they talk shit about their team losing, but they still like, "Oh, come on, please."
Yeah, yeah. They'll be the first one to defend them straight away as well.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's like they'll be 100%.
They'll be like, "Oh, why are we giving this?" And then someone says something bad about them. You're like, "Shut up."
I mean, rugby fans, I think arguably they're just as crazy as football fans. Because you're allowed to drink at rugby games. You're not allowed to drink at football games.
And I think that's when you know football games is more crazier than
rugby. Yeah, we've got some hooligans out there.
Imagine if the rugby fans drink. There'll be chaos every match.
Oh my gosh. Well, so wait, they're not allowed to drink during games, or they are?
You can have a drink in the game.
In the game,
you can get pissed in the game.
Yeah, but it's football, you can't.
You're only allowed in the box and then leave it there.
I can see why. I can definitely see
100%.
Why.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, speaking about the differences between sports, that people have a lot of preconceptions about rugby players, like being strong, big, like macho, and obviously there'll be a soft side to you as well. So I want you to kind of dispel some of the things that people naturally think about rugby players, which aren't always going to be true. So what do you usually come across as a stereotype which is not usually true about rugby players?
Even us rugby players think like that with other players.
Mm.
Like I used to hate, who did I hate here? There used to be a player for Warrington I used to hate so much, man. Just a dirty player. And then I find out later, he's the nicest bloke ever. So it's like similar to what the fans are seeing, because you can't go into a rugby match and be nice to people there.
Nah, yeah. I can imagine.
But at the same time, For me, there's level of being a grub than being tough.
Mm.
Some people go a bit overboard, and that's when you get called a grub. And I never like players like that. But I'm not really a go in there and go have a go at other players. I'm never like that, because I think I've learned my lesson. This was when my head was scrambled. This was like, I think 2020, I can't remember if it's 2020, 2021.
He smashed the person's jaw in.
Oh, no, that was the NRL. So this was here in England. I ran the ball, someone called me, pushed me in the ground. I just lost my head because I was already in the dark play. Mm-hmm. So I lost my head, I pushed him. So when he was running back, I was running behind him and I was saying something to him, and he just turned around and nudged me and I got knocked out.
No way.
Yeah, I just got dropped on the, and I just woke up and I can't remember what happened. So all the boys were fighting and I was like going again, and I couldn't hear one of my teammates say, "Cody, you just got dropped." And I was looked and went, "Oh," when it shook the guy's hand, that knocked me out.
Do you know what? I think I've actually seen that clip.
I went to look around, "Oh, okay." And when it shook his hand, I was like, "Can't play,
man." No wonder.
We both got yellow carded.
You know what? No one can ever knock you for saying you're not a good sport.
That's great sportsmanship.
So when I got up, I was looking for the guy that was at the start, and I was like, "Come on, then, me and you." And I can hear the guy at the back say, "All right, you got knocked out." And I was like, "Oh, sweet." I was running towards him. I was like, "Fair play, man." Yeah. Shook his hand, and then we both got back on the bin. We got both yellow carded.
Wow. So you know when you lose your head, then how do you bring yourself back round? Like, because obviously it's rugby, such a hustle and muscle sport.
I think it's because I've got other players to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
If I lose my head, and I've tried to do something stupid, I know I'm not the only one I'm letting down. I'm going to let down the other.
And then you're in players. The sin bin, and it's like,
and now the team are stuff. So I think that's sometimes I get too aggressive, but then I realize it's not just me they're playing. There's a team they're playing. So. Need to calm it down.
It's like a bigger picture kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Because it's boxing. I could just lose my head and I get knocked out and it's just me. And that's fine. But when I get knocked out and I'm sitting outside while they're playing 12 players, and that's when it hurts. That's when it hurts the most. When I think a lot of time they'll lose my head is because I'm letting them, the boys now. But need to learn. Like, I've been learning how to just forget about it and move on to the next one, because that's what they always say. Try forget about it and move on, because there's no point of thinking about it. Mm. It's gone. When it happens, it's gone. They can't go back and then try to fix it and then come back and go again.
Yeah, you're already in the sin bin for
many minutes. Yeah, that's like, I always hear that from like one of the players I play with now, that's what he always said. Just try to forget about it. Come in. So. But it's not usually that easy to just forget it.
But those other times, you know, I understand that in the past 3 years you had your dark moments. But the other times where you've lost your head, we can all do it. We're human beings. Was it because there was things off the pitch that you were thinking about, or was it just because a player was getting under your skin and you're like, this guy?
Yeah, it's never a player. Never. I've never tried to hit a go with any player. It was never. Just like what happened with the other guy, it was never because I hated him for years that I tried to fight him, and it just happened. But I think throughout my career, I think I've had only two incidents like that. And I think it was something from outside. Mm. It was never, I'm never like that. Like, a lot of the boys, like, they know how I am, and they were shocked that I was running after the guy. Then they said, they must teach you a lesson. Then you don't do it again. But I think it's always from something that I've had before. Because like I said before, I never talked about it. I never speak about it. But
it's more bottled up.
And then it'll come out in a different way. You know? So I think I've never had a thing in the game that I hate this guy that I want to fucking kick.
Yeah. That first incident, what was it about?
The draw one.
Yeah. Oh, that one, I was just running. That was my style of running. I run, when I go to bump, I lift my knee up as well. Mm-hmm. So that one was just a reaction. I came back and the guy came low on me. So it was just the reaction for me to put my knee up. So when he came, he went straight. He was coming down here and I lift my knee up. So when it happened, I had no idea what was going on. Mm. So the play was still going. Mm-hmm. So I think 2 minutes later, they stopped it and then they reveal it. And then that's when I got yellow card. But no one knew what happened. Mm-hmm. They only find out because the guy was his jaw.
If the injuries wasn't so bad, you think they would have been as harsh with the judgment? No.
If he wasn't injured, I wouldn't be...
That's crazy. Yeah. That's politics. Yeah, that's surely politics. That's politics.
Every sport's like that.
Yeah. True, actually. Football's the same thing. It's just like, we're going to just punish you just because we need to make an example out of this situation, right?
But if the injury is not there, then it wouldn't happen. Because when it happened, it was play on. Mm. Like, the refs were there, the lineman was there. But when they see the guy, it was actually bad. When he was walking out, they had to review it on TV and they said, oh, he's got to go yellow card.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
I want to just jump into relationship quickly, Connie, because like, having met you, seem like a really sweet guy. Would you say you're a romantic in the relationship?
I think I'm not really romantic. Not really a romantic
Careful,
guy, but
yeah,
I'm always.
See, remember this. You were playing the towel and your buddy smiling.
I think, I'm not really a. I don't think she thinks that I'm a romantic guy, but I'm like, this is me.
I love
this
that.
This is me with her and talking shit. But I think it took her a while to figure out that it was just me.
Mm.
I remember her telling this story not long ago, that our first date, she picked me up and I was blasting the music and singing to it like I've known her for so long. She was just like driving. But I didn't know that she was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is this guy? Like, but it was just me.
This
was
the first day as well.
First time she picked me up, first time I was in her car, I was just like blasting the music, like singing to it while she was just driving, and then all the way it dropped me off, and then I think that's just me. But
what song was it?
It must be a country song or something. Like I was pumping it. But I think like I always try to do something sweet for her now and then. But I won't say I'm far from being romantic, but yeah, I love a good cuddle though. Yeah.
I do as well. It comes with a name, to be honest.
<with you. laughs> Yeah, no, because I was curious with it, because obviously you've got such a busy schedule. You've got like your training, you've got the games, and obviously I know you've got the world. Sometimes you guys have the World Club Tour as well. So it's like, damn, like, so in those moments where you're now with your partner,
it's always an excuse to find it. You do sometimes, but she's like she's so chill, man. She's like the opposite of me. She's like, she'll stay home. She'll choose to stay home. Like, and I'm always like out doing something out, but she's like so chill and
amazing.
Yeah. So
do you think that helps with your personality as well, with you being so busy, the fact that she's so chilled? It's like,
I think it is, because she'd take no shit with me. So she'll say it straight as well. And I think,
how do you think she would describe you?
Annoying, I think. Maybe annoying, but
I should have messaged her. Give me a few secrets.
She's lovely, man. The main thing I really, really liked about her, that she was a family person too. Her mom is her everything to her.
Beautiful.
So her sisters, her brother, like, no one will say a better thing about that than with her. Just like, even when I first met her brother, I was like joking around about, oh it's a bit, she's got four sisters and one brother. I think the brother's the youngest. And I think the brother's not really like an outgoing guy. Like, he'll say a word now and then, and I think I joke around about, oh, your brother doesn't like me, blah, blah, blah. He's like, shut up. I think she knew where I was going, and she's like, shut up, don't. I was like, okay, sweet. Yeah, but then I took her home and she met my family, and she was like, oh wow, that's like 5,000 of you. But it was lucky that she got to meet my mom before she passed away, so I'm glad she did.
How did you know this is just a selfish question, because I'm on my quest of trying to find someone.
Oh.
So how did you know she was the one? Or when did you know she was the one?
Yeah, I think it took me a while. It took me a while to like try to get a date with her, or just to even talk to her, because she just hears that, like, back home, footy players are always stupid. And I totally agree with her with why she stays there. And I always say, we're not all the same. Come on. It took me a while. I think I tried and then stopped trying, and then I figured out, I tried again, and then she finally gave up.
When you say you tried to propose to her many times.
Yeah, just try to ask her for a date. Like, right. Just one date, please. Just like, let me take you out for one date. And then she's like, keep rushing me. I think it's just how she was. Like I said now, she was just so chill. And like, there's just nothing more important to her than her family. And I think that's what got to me. Mm-hmm. There was like her family, her and her friends, like, that's just her. And I think I think she's a fucking 10 too. So I don't know how she figured out. I was 10 kilos lighter back then too. Maybe she saw a few abs on me and she's like, oh, I'll take this guy. But nah, she's who she is back then, she still is now. And all she does is just work hard for everything she wants.
She sounds like an amazing woman who's been your support network for a really long time.
I still don't know how she's still hanging on, but she's great, man. She's great. I'm lucky enough, and my son is lucky enough to be her mom. So she's amazing.
Toast to Mrs. Harrell.
Let's definitely toast to that.
She's amazing.
That's something that we look at as well. Like, even growing into a relationship, we like to hopefully have someone that's also family orientated. Yeah. So like, when it comes to us raising our families, it's like, actually, this is exactly what I want in a woman. Like, someone that really respects her parents, someone that like really respects the people that they have around them, and has that patience for our personalities as well.
Yes,
yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I'm dorky sometimes as well. So it's like,
but when I took her to Tonga, I was actually surprised how she took it, because their environment like is so different to mine, because mine is so loud. Just like I'm kind of like them. Like there's no like, we're gonna wake up, have breakfast, do this. We just go with the flow.
Mm.
Like my family, just like whatever happens, happens. On her side, they're like
organized.
Yeah, they're like, all organized. Yeah. Like I remember the last time I took her last year, and she's like, because when I went the last time, we stayed at a hotel. Because if we stayed at home, my mom would slap both of us. Because we're not married. So like in my culture, it's a big thing. Like you can't be sleeping at home if you're not married. If you're just boyfriend and girlfriend, you want no chance of kissing in front of my mom. So I was like, we're staying at a hotel.
Yeah,
I don't want my mom to slap you and me at the same time. But my mom passed away.
I can't explain this.
Yeah. We stayed at a hotel. Yeah. So we'll wake up and go there and then go back. But this year, just we went home and we stayed at home, and she woke up and they were like, we usually don't eat breakfast because we sleep until like 11. And she was like, so there's food at home, but whoever's hungry, you go make your food. And then she was like, does anyone cook at your home? Because we'll eat like at 9, 10 p.m. because we're just all getting hungry. And I was like, oh. It's just being lazy to cook. Because as soon as you start cooking, you're cooking for everyone. So I had to take her out every time because she's like, I just want to eat at home. And she's like, does anyone cook at home? I was like, they all can cook. They're just waiting for the first person to start cooking.
Bro, but, you do that. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, bro, you hungry? And he looks at me and he's like, yeah, I'm hungry now, bro. Like, all right.
So I'll cook. He's been hungry for 4 hours.
He's letting out the secret. Well, yeah, that's do you want to eat now then? All right. Then.
Yeah. All right, I'll make something. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think that's why, there's one thing like that she accepts what my family is. And that. And my sister's got along with her. Yeah, every time that's what I was more worried about is my sisters, not my mom and dad. But they really loved it.
Has there been partners that your sister hasn't gotten with before?
Never really had a partner for them to meet.
Mm.
Yeah, I think she was the first one that the family met.
Wow. Yeah. So super wait. So hang on, Connie. Did I catch you say you're not married? Yeah.
No, not yet.
So what's going on? Are we gonna?
Just waiting on her. You know.
Oh, is it?
In the Tongan culture, the women, they get on their knees. We're heading there. Hopefully, it will happen soon. So,
I love that. Yeah, because it's a special. Everything you've said as well, like you guys have got a special bond as well, and you've been through so much. So
yeah. She's been through more than me because she's yet to, be around me.
Do
you want any more kids?
I think maybe two or three, and that's it. And I feel like that's why I was settling, because I wanted someone to have kids with that I know that, I agree. Like they're gonna be a good mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. For like, I'm not saying anything. Like I was just saying, whatever happens, I know my kid will be safe.
It's always going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
like
that's
she is that person. No matter what's going to happen, I know she'll die for our kids.
Mm.
So I feel like that's why I ended up. Yeah. Because I wasn't really like having a girlfriend. Like I'll be talking to a lot of people, like being like seeing a lot of people as well, but never really like, yeah.
Does she deal with comments from the media sometimes as well?
I told her to stay away from it. Yeah. I told her.
Oh, so she's not on socials?
No, she is. But I told her not to go reading, but she still do.
Yeah,
I think she talked with the other partners as well. She never said it to me because she knows as soon as she says something, I just...
Don't never feed into it like that.
Yeah, so I know 100% she reads it, but she knows not to say it to me because,
because they'll just cause
unnecessary trouble.
Do you get things from like skeletons from your past which you've dealt with, but people always still try to remind you?
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. But that's when I just make it a funny comment and then, yeah, it will just go away.
I'm gonna, if there's one thing I'll definitely take away from that is that I'm gonna practice that one. I'll message you and be like, bro, this is going well.
Because for them to say that, they must be going through something. So yeah, you can't be a happy person and say, fuck this. You're gonna be sitting at home and say, oh, why is he doing it? Yeah. But you're not even doing anything, but he must be going through something to just sit there. And like, if you're having a good day, that's all you'll be thinking of, something nice. So if they're having a rough day, this is how they react.
Punching back if they need it.
Type and give it to this guy, give it to her, give it to whoever. And then they'll sit there. They'll probably make them feel worse more and then they'll keep doing it. So all I say is just, I always say that, you're having a bad day, bro. And then laugh emoji and then you just see like the comment change and you know, like, oh.
Yeah, sometimes I genuinely find it funny.
I'm in stitches. Well,
sometimes I feel like it's so funny because sometimes I know it's so true. I was like, how the hell the fuck do you know this? Yeah. How do you know this word by word, what's going on in my life? And I'll just laugh at it. But sometimes it's just so stupid.
It's like
you even know what's coming out of your mouth or whatever it is.
Did you dream this last night? Yeah. Or like, where did it come from?
You can't be having a good day and then go sit in the computer or the phone and say, let's draw this guy.
Yeah. It's madness. Yeah. The world is crazy though.
It is. That's the main thing.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, you seem to handle negative things really well, albeit, you know, you've gone through the most toughest thing in your life with losing your mom. But you had an earlier test, which you touched on right in the beginning of the conversation. I think it was around 2013, 2014, where you were a young lad messing around with social media and you got caught. And it's funny, when we were doing our research and I read it and I was like, I probably would have made the exact same mistake as you did. I said to Teddy, I was like, this is something that probably I would have been caught for.
Yeah.
So at the time, you know, did you have your team around you who were giving you that arm around the shoulder to say, look, don't worry about what's going on right now? Or did you also have the media and your team and everyone else around you saying,
when that came out, the first person I called was two of them, both of my sisters, because they're the one I felt like I've let them down the most for doing that incident. So I called them both and they said, it's fine, but what the fuck were you thinking? So they were the two person I called. When I called them and then after the film phone call, I was sweet and I told them not to tell mom. And they were like, we're going to give you one day. If not, we're telling. And then I called my mom and then I was literally crying when I called her because I thought she'd be like, wow. First thing she said, is everyone safe? Has anyone got hurt? Anyone? And I was like, nah. We both knew what was happening. And she was like, that's fine. I'm flying over.
Oh, wow.
And then the rest of the comment was like, nothing.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But before that, to be fair, it was like, not in a good way, but the comments was like praising me. Mm. But that's, like thinking back, I was like, fuck, that was just building my ego. So my ego just kept going.
Like, I'm undefeated.
Yeah, like, so I was like thinking I was the man. I was like, I was young. She was like actress. She was beautiful. Like she was a mom. She was like, she was famous as well. So in my head, I was like, this is building my ego. But sitting down when they're all a bit older and thinking back, man, like I've let her down. I've let her son down. Her family, I've let my family down for being just a little shit, pretty much. Thinking back, and that team, the boys were there. They're like, this will blow over, and because they've been there for a while, and it happened to them, they said it'll blow over in like three to 4 weeks max. It'll blow over, and that's literally what it was. But still, people, I still get that comment to now.
Really?
Yeah. Up to now. Ugh. So I just, for that, I just ignore it for the respect for my partner. So,
of course.
But I never bite to that bit. So,
good. Yeah. That's exactly why I said that I could imagine myself making a stupid mistake like that, because I've seen my ego be so inflated when I was younger as well.
Yeah.
And obviously looking back at my younger self, I'm like, come on, man, what's wrong?
So that's what I mean. It's like, it's part of it, but sometimes you don't want to go through the worst to be in the position that you know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they always say you need to go through the bad to be the good. I wish I didn't have to go through the bad. I wish.
But I feel like that's life, though.
You
have to go through these, mistakes. Because if it wasn't there, then I'm not going to lie. What do you tell your son?
You just had
a boring life? Like, it's like, what? But it's like, if you don't go through it, anything around the corner could then just catch you, because you haven't gone through these life lessons. And it's like, actually, I've gone through that. I know what that's like. I'm not going to do this when I'm 30, 40, 50.
I think after, like, it was 2014, 15, my career started like going downwards, because I was like, I was getting paid. I got a little bit of attention from women and stuff like that. And then, like I said, got the phone call from mom, and then she's like, she said that word. Just remember where you're from and why you're there, like, to help us.
So, is that when it came, like, through? Is that when she when she came over? What was the thing that came home?
Yeah,
like,
that was it.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think the main thing is that I knew that she wasn't, that I was so surprised that she wasn't so angry about it. But she said, at the end of the day, if you both knew what was going on, if she didn't knew, then it would have been a different story. She would have, she'd probably been hiding at the airport, but I think we both knew about it, blah, blah, blah. But it was kind of like a life lesson from then. And the funny thing is, we played a game probably 2 weeks after the incident came, and that was her first game to watch. She came from Tonga, because she was like, she couldn't really fly because she wasn't really healthy. So the first game in Auckland, and they absolutely killed it.
Smashed it.
And everyone was saying, like, how do you deal with all this stuff? I was like, I was just here for my mom. I was just playing for her. Like, whatever the shit was behind me was behind me. That's it was just because she was there, yeah. And the coach, is like, can you make sure your mom stays here for the whole year? Could you stay with your mom for a bit longer?
That's amazing.
But then I ended up moving to Gold Coast, and it was good, because I reckon if I went straight away when I was being a little shit to GC, I reckon I would have been in jail now.
Oh yeah, because they don't mess around in Australia.
Yeah, the lifestyle there is too good. I would have been like not even playing right now. But I had to go through that, and
Is that a Simba tattoo?
What?
How did that come about?
I'm a big fan of Simba as well, but my partner's got one as well.
Oh, that's cute.
So she said, I've been copying her the whole time. I always say mine is better than hers. So.
Oh well, I want to because we're heading towards an hour, and we have like a closing tradition, which is an act of gratitude. So it's trying to pinpoint right now where you're at in your life. What do you feel grateful for at the moment? Where's the gratitude at the moment in your life?
My gratitude at the moment is just seeing my son growing and being healthy. I think that's
amazing.
I think like we sometimes as a parent and take that for granted that our kids is always going to be healthy and going to be so happy. But I think every day it's seeing him happy. And then when I see him like kind of like just a little bit sick and sad, sometimes you're just like, oh man, let him down. But I think that's my gratitude, which is just being around him while he's growing. And like I said before at the start, I'm blessed to see my child grow and to have a kid as well. So
yeah,
I think that's my gratitude right at the moment. And my partner and baby are healthy, so.
Amazing, amazing. Did you, were you there when he first fell over? Did you see him fall over? I know a lot of parents tend to panic when that happens. It's like, oh my God.
I was there. We both had a laugh at it because it wasn't that bad. But I'm gladly I was there for his first steps, kind of like walk. I think that 3 weeks are kind of like his personality changed in 3 weeks that I kind of missed because they went back home. And then when I got there, like he was getting to know a lot of people more.
Yeah.
And I kind of like missed that little bit. And then, yeah, kind of like regret that. And then I was like, I'm done with Tonga.
This is cemented.
3 weeks camps. It's the best camp I've ever been in my, like being playing for Tonga and being around the boys is always, always up there, the highlight of my career.
Mm.
But I'm too old now. There's a lot of young boys there that they can represent Tonga better than me. So
it's like giving them the space to actually.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them, they can represent Australia and New Zealand, but they chose to come represent Tonga. So I'm looking forward to the next World Cup to see them boys kill it too. So
yeah, but you guys killed it as well. Like you guys had some great wins.
I've been lucky enough to be involved in that. First ever team to beat Australia, and I always remind this to my partner.
Yeah.
So that was quite cool. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you again. Thank you so much. It's been refreshing to have you on.
It's good to be here, man. It's
very grateful for your presence, your stories, and also the fact that you've come a long way to share a lot of some of the really touching ones. And hope people back home can relate to it too. And feel like they're able to open up, and we said, you know, it's very difficult as a man to be able to do that. So seeing someone as a macho man, you know, opening up, I think you're really paving the way for us all. So thank you very much.
No, it's good to be here. To be honest, I'm kind of glad you guys invited me to come in just to from a different view of, because I'm always the rugby people that watch me, that they listen to me. Like even the last two podcasts I was doing with ex rugby player and a guy that always been around rugby as well. So when you messaged me about it, I was like, oh, I would love to be here just because it's Teddy as well.
I wish you didn't say that to him.
I never used to watch Love Island, and then my missus was like, come on. I always say, nah, I'll never watch this shit. And then the first episode come, I was like, oh, so who's this? And she was like, oh, so you want to watch it now? And then, yeah, I think that's the first proper one that we watched was your guys' one. And I was like, were you running the Insta?
I was like,
he's my man. And then even in my partner loved you as well. We're just like, and then got the follow back and I was like, look. And she was like, you know, that's not Teddy running it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I was like, oh man.
As soon as he came out, I told him straight away.
So obviously I've been meaning to get to some of your games as well, like for schedules and whatnot. But I'm going to make sure I get to one of your games.
Bring the crew. Yeah, but she said, wait, when he goes back, you've been unfollowed. So when it finished, I always go like this. Look. He hasn't unfollowed me.
No, bro. And I love your content. I love the way you express yourself on social media as well, man. It's refreshing. And it always reminds me in my mind that like being authentic isn't bad. Being you isn't a bad thing. Like it's a lot of people right now on social media, it's like they're trying to be someone else. And it's like, no, just be you.
So it won't be long till we wear our own budgie smugglers.
I know.
That'd be the next
thing. Nah, we'll bring it here. You guys can wear it. Yeah, I'll get you out. They'll sort you out. Trust me, they'll sort you out.
Yes, I love that. Well, thank you again, Clive. Thanks for having me, brother.